This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High-end guy, a head coach in waiting. I think that, and Arthur Smith at that point pretty much was a head coach in waiting kind of thing. I think that there's a base level of, like, knowledge that they can impart on you. When Kyle Shanahan, when you get drafted to the 49ers, yeah, you expect maybe now that Brock Purdy's going to help you along, certainly, but you expect Kyle Shanahan's going to be, like, the guy, and the people working for Kyle Shanahan are going to be so high-end. Same with McVay. You know, you mentioned Kingsbury, obviously not a great head coach, but a great offensive coordinator, I think. They had Matt Canada, who was standoffish at best, which didn't help the fact that Ben was also not exactly somebody who I think would be warm and fuzzy to rookies. It would be like, get with the program quickly here, right? I mean, that's just Ben's personality, in my opinion. And then you had a coordinator who was pretty prickly to begin with, and also, I think, just in over his head. And you would say the head coach isn't somebody you could rely on, too. Well, we all know that Mike Tomlin's not an offensive guy. It's his hire. And it just says everything when Najee goes, oh, yeah, there were a lot of defensive veterans around. Well, that gives away the game. That's how the Steelers have been built for a while now.
That's how Tomlin wanted it built post-Ben.
And I think Najee's a pretty opinionated guy. I certainly don't think Najee is without fault. I don't think Najee's a very good player. I think history will remember him as a garden variety. I think you even said that, a garden variety running back. I think that's what he is. I don't really think, though, that despite any ulterior motive he might have, that he's telling lies here.
Well, I do think he has an ulterior motive. I don't think he's lying. I mean, I think the facts are the facts. This was basically an incompetent offense that Mike Tomlin allowed for less qualified people to run his offense because of personal relationships, Randy Fichtner.
Because he also liked being able to tell a guy what to do and have
exactly.
That guy say, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
I mean, I also think, though, it's excuse making on Najee's part. I think he's self-aware enough to know that even though he had those 1,000-yard seasons, it's not like he lived up to where he was drafted here. He didn't even get his fifth-year option picked up. And I think now that he's off to a new team, part of it is trying to come up with reasons or rationalize why he was such a average, run-of-the-mill running back. Look at the pieces around me. Look at the quarterbacks. Look at the system. Look at the lack of experience. So, I mean, I think two things can be true here. I think he's right, but I also think his motive is he's trying to explain to a new team and a new fan base why his numbers might not be indicative.
Why does he need to do that? That maybe to a fan base, the team signed him. Why does he need to explain anything to him? They wanted him. They pursued him. I know the money isn't, like, insane. I think the actual amount he's definitely getting is, what, $5 million or something?
All right, well, then just, like, articulate for himself why his career has been what it is to this point. Like, him even,
so
like,
he's almost, so he's doing self, he's really just trying to convince himself, I was the victim of circumstance.
Right, yes.
That's more plausible.
100%. I think Najee Harris looks at himself as a victim of circumstance.
That's more plausible to me than the other stuff.
I think there are fans who think that. I think there are fans who think he did not have a good offensive line here. He did not have a good quarterback.
I'm sorry.
Teams stacked the box. No. Teams put eight in the box against him.
No. I mean, he broke a fair amount of tackles, but there's enough people who cut up film who just point out time after time where he didn't see a hole that actually had been opened, and it was on him.
I think if we polled listeners, will Najee Harris be better with the Chargers than he was here? The vast majority will say yes. That he is not just...
better quarterback, and...
Better head coach who knows offensive football.
Well, I guess to his point, though, it would be better offensive coordinator, because if Roman knows anything out there, it is
putting together a running game. Yeah. And look, a guy that schemes the run game, wanted him. I mean, I don't think in that organization it's just the coach or the GM or whatever who makes decisions in a vacuum like it mostly is here with Tomlin. You know, like
I think Harbaugh has a ton of sway there.
No, he does. But I'm saying, like, okay, so one, the other, or both.
Oh, you mean Roman saw something there that wasn't tapped into here? Yeah.
Yes, Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, or both see something in Najee Harris that excites them.
I mean, this. Harris is not sympathetic to me, but I mean, this gets back to the crux of probably my biggest problem with the Steelers. Like, they just, from the head coach down, and everyone takes their cues from him. They just seem to be way behind the times with offensive football, and probably more to the point, Pony, they don't really seem to be in a rush to catch up, do they? Like, really, was their offense particularly innovative this year? It was, hey, we're going to run it on first, run it on second.
No, it's the most predictable offense in the NFL.
On third and five or longer, we're going to let Rush drop back, maybe roll to his right or to his left, plant his feet, and throw the ball pretty far down the field.
Donnie, your reaction to Najee saying we didn't have an identity, we didn't know anything on offense?
I honestly love him saying it. Because I was telling you guys before the show a little bit, I have a feeling I'm going to love former Steeler Najee Harris than I loved current Steeler Najee Harris.
Because, why is that?
I mean, I'm glad that now that he's out of here that he's speaking his mind. Like, I don't have a problem, like, when a guy walks away and, you know, he wants to be honest about what the former situation was, and it paints a little bit of a picture that, okay, maybe it's not so rosy in Pittsburgh like everybody thinks.
But do you feel like he would have, like, there's Najee Harris potential there that went untapped or went unrealized because of the way they play offensive football here?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, by no means do I think he is going to be like the Saquon Barkley or even the Josh Jacobs of this free agent class. But, I mean, I do think there are a lot of people, because you guys were just getting into this, I think there are plenty of people that think he would have been a lot better if the Steelers made the situation better. Like, you will find tons of people
that say bad offensive line, bad offense. Do you think that way?
No, I never thought he was really a game-changing player. He'll be a little bit better with the Chargers, I think. But, yeah, again, he's not going to be like Saquon.
I think he's an example of – he's like another shining example of their flawed approach to fixing a running game. They drafted him, and Kevin Colbert says, we think that he can pick up the invisible yards. Almost every team in the NFL would say the running game is predicated on two things. Like, forget about a passing game that you have or any of that, or, like, how much that matters. It's how good is your offensive line first and foremost – and then how good is your running back, i.e. the latter always follows the former. Barkley is a terrific example of this. The Steelers drafted a player and said, we are not going to take other highly rated offensive linemen we could take. We think merely drafting this running back will cure what ails our running
game. Well, dude, that's why I think personally, like, he says all these things and he's right, but what he doesn't realize is that, like, the offense was pretty much still built around him, and that was the problem.
You know, he wasn't good enough to carry the load.
Like, he's saying things like, we didn't know anything on offense, we didn't have an identity. Well, yeah, because they drafted you basically to be a star. When you draft a running back in the first round, it's not to be an accessory, it's not to be a complimentary part, it's to be the star of the offense. My opinion. Unless you're, like, so close where you're, you know, it's like almost Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit. We have everything already.
But so, even then, he's a star, but he's like one of several stars on that offense. They have Laporta, they have Amon-Ra, St. Brown. Like,
you're supposed to be the focal point, man. You're supposed to be the dude. And I think part of the Steelers' problem was Yeah, they played Jaylen Warren more, especially in the second half of the season, but they were still starting games with Najee Harris, trying to force feed him. I think that was part of their problem, why they couldn't score points in the first quarter of games. And their whole setup was like, let's establish Najee and get Najee going in games. Like, yeah, man, like their stubbornness and belief in you is why things didn't go well. You know, like it's not like when you say victim of circumstance has the connotation almost like how people will talk about Mason Rudolph, like they just never gave the guy a shot.
Or if so-and-so had been drafted by a team other than the Browns, it would have gone better.
Oh, man, Archie Manning would have been great if he wasn't picked by the Saints. He's right, but he's wrong, I guess is what I'm saying, if that makes sense.
It just rips open more, like, it further damages the narrative that Tomlin knows everything and that the Steelers are just still such a Tiffany franchise and that they're to whatever degree people believe on a national level that their approach is still so rock solid. I mean, here's a guy who's on the inside for 4 years just saying, yeah, it was kind of not dysfunctional, but it was lacking in.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo. Brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. All right, Ray, where do things stand with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Tony, we're still in wait-and-see mode. And honestly, that hasn't changed for the last 9 days. You know, there may be some conversations behind the scenes that we're not privy to, which is, you know, keeping the Steelers, you know, the Steelers believe that, you know, it's going in a positive direction because from the outside, guys, it just appears that if he doesn't know at this point if he wants to play with the Steelers should move on. So I'm just guessing, educated guess, that there's some conversations going on where they're at least encouraged by the fact that they could get him.
Ray, how long would this have to continue with no answer and no visible movement on the situation for the Steelers to walk away from the table?
That's a great question, Chris. You know, by now, it's obvious that Art Rooney doesn't care about the optics because the optics on this haven't been good for a week now. So if you're taking a bad PR hit for a week, I suppose what's 2 weeks? Now, if it goes into next week, at this time, then I do think there's probably a certain point where, you know, you're just going to have to walk away and say, you know, we're going to go with Mason Rudolph. We're going to ride with him. And I think with Cam Hayward's comments on his podcast, you know, I think maybe some people, some players in that locker room probably do feel that way. And at some stage, I think maybe the ownership group might feel that way as well.
Ray, I mean, it's so interesting. A few days ago, Steelers insiders were still saying things like, don't be surprised if the Steelers circle back to Russell Wilson if Aaron Rodgers says no. And now the prevailing thought is, no, there's zero chance regardless of what happens that Russell Wilson comes back here. So what's changed?
Yeah, I don't know if it's 0% chance, Tony, but I just think, you know, you saw what Hayward said. You know, Hayward didn't mention Russell Wilson at all. He said that, you know, they'd be happy to ride with Mason. And I know the question was posed in a certain way, but from Russell Wilson's perspective on this, if the Steelers don't want him at this point, why would he want to come back unless he has no other options? And I do think the Browns are an option, and I do think the Giants are an option. So maybe he just wants to play with DK Metcalf again. Maybe he feels like, you know, the players in that locker room, you know, can, you know, want him back, even though some of the relationships, other relationships in that building aren't as great. But if I'm Russell Wilson, I see the writing on the wall, and, you know, I go sign with another team.
Ray, what do you make of Najee Harris's comments that he made saying that the Steelers, quote, didn't know anything on offense and didn't have an identity?
I mean, that was 100% true when Matt Canada was there. you know, I think they had an identity last season with Arthur Smith. So I don't know if I agree with it there. I saw Najee's comments. I don't know the exact context. Was he talking more about early in his career than last season?
No, he also made it sound. He also made it sound like last year, which I said to Chris, that's odd because he's bitching about there being no veteran leaders or elder statesmen when he was. Yeah, he was not only older, but you also had Russell Wilson in the room.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting that Najee is speaking out now. He never seemed to want to talk. It was the last thing he wanted to do when he was here. Maybe he feels like different city, you know, new voice, and you know, he wants to have his feelings known. But he was the last person in that locker room who wanted to talk during the week or after games. It was like pulling teeth to get him to talk. So,
Ray, let's ask you to infer or read into what's going on with the Steelers' pro day tours and draft prep. They had dinner with Jalen Milroe. They still don't have another quarterback besides Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson.
Yep.
So read the tea leaves there. Does that make you think that the Steelers are in the market for a quarterback in this year's draft?
Yeah, quite possibly, but not until probably third or fourth round. And I would lean more to the fourth round if I'm going to take one. So, you know, Will Howard, Ohio State Pro Day, I think later this week or next week. That's tomorrow, maybe. So they're going to meet with Will Howard, and then, you know, they're going to do that with all those day three types of quarterbacks. And they have Tyler Shuck in here, who's also in that category. So I don't really see them pulling the trigger at 21 on a quarterback. I just think you got to go D-line or another position there. And there's nothing wrong with taking a flyer on a guy in the third or fourth round when you don't have your future franchise quarterback. Maybe you'll get lucky. That's the way I look at it.
Ray, it feels like with all the Rodgers stuff that George Pickens, who I guess recently posted something to Instagram, like photoshopped next to Tom Brady on the field.
Yes, that is right.
It feels like the George Pickens discussion has cooled just because so much attention is being paid to the quarterback.
Yeah.
What do the tea leaves tell you about his immediate future with the Steelers over these next couple of months?
I was just going to say, as soon as this quarterback situation is settled, I think in the lead-up to the draft, we're going to have a lot more speculation about George Pickens' future with the Steelers. I think if you could trade him for a second or third round pick on draft day, you could do it. You could do it at the trade deadline, too. You could let him walk in free agency and get a third-round comp pick, in all likelihood, but to me, I think sooner rather than later with that. And I think you're right, Chris. I do think as soon as we get an answer one way or the other with Rodgers here, I think there's going to be a lot more conversation about that topic.
Ray, right now, do you think it's better or worse than 50-50 that Mason Rudolph is the Steelers' Week 1 starting quarterback?
I'll still say less than 50-50, but that percentage is probably good. Like the day he signed, you know, probably like 10%, 20%, 30%. We might be getting like up to like 35%, 40% here in the next couple of days.
Ray, what do you think their appetite is if they don't get Rodgers to bring in somebody like, just for example, a Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably... I mean, with the Giants and the Browns out there, I guess he wouldn't go back to the Browns, but the Giants are a possibility for him. I would be all for that. You know, you would have like a, let's say you draft a rookie, the rookie would be the three, and then if things go sour with Mason, you have a vet like Flacco who could come in like he did last year for Anthony Richardson or like he did the previous year for Deshaun Watson. That guy is a pro. He's not going to be able to do it over a 17-game stretch. But that guy can get hot for 5 or 6 weeks, you know, and maybe keep you in contention. So I would be all for that, and I wouldn't mind that move at all.
Ray, Justin Fields came out today on the Jets website and said he picked New York because of Aaron Glenn. Why do you think the Steelers weren't even interested in giving him a little bit more than, frankly, bottom of the line starting quarterback money in the NFL. $20 million for a starting quarterback is basically peanuts in today's league. What kept them, if they liked him so much, why did they not go higher than that and match or exceed the Jets' offer?
Because they felt like they were overpaying for a guy who is, what, 14 and 30-something and, you know, was okay last year, but he was okay in a six-game sample. So I just didn't feel like they were pressured to go over what they felt that he was worth. And the Steelers do that on every single player that they do contracts with. And even though it's a quarterback, I just think they wanted to hold firm and have a certain price on him. So, and, guys, it could be that the offer was closer than we think, and he just wanted to get out of town because he wanted to play for Aaron Glenn rather than Mike Tomlin. That's a possibility as well.
So what do you think they think Aaron Rodgers is worth? What do you think their number is, if you had to guess?
25 to 30, not over 30.
Interesting.
Because I think they would have been in on Sam Darnold if they thought Sam Darnold was a player like at 33 or 35, what he's getting from Seattle. I think they would have been more in on Darnold. So I think it's somewhere in the 25 to 30 million range.
Well, Florio basically speculated with us yesterday that he thinks the reason why the Steelers are recommending this new rule is because they think that the Seahawks tampered with Darnold and they never really got a shot at making him an offer, Ray. How about that?
Wow, I listen to Florio with you guys almost every week. I did not catch that yesterday, but that's interesting. I don't know if they would drop that proposal in one day, but, I mean, rules are broken all the time in free agency and illegal tampering stuff, so it's not a surprise that some teams, including the Steelers, want the NFL to get a better handle on that.
There you go, Ray Fittipaldo. Check him out in the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
We're back here.
You're lost in the tournament sauce right now.
It's almost time for us to feed the need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank on Tuesday. Our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon will be raising money to provide meals for our neighbors in need. Text NEED to 50155 or go to Metropolitan Window Company Online Donation Center. And your donation will provide meals locally, brought to you by Rome Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, Memorial Highway, Chevrolet, and Aetna. All the details, 937thefan.com. 15 minutes away from, get this, Spiro Ditas, NFL on CBS, and March Madness broadcaster. He called that dramatic St. Francis first four loss. He will have Pitt and, or not Pitt, sorry. He'll have Robert Morris and Alabama tomorrow. He did have Pitt, Mississippi State in the first four a couple of years ago, which was a crazy ending with that almost half-court heave from Blake Hinson, where Jeff Capel was like, no, yes, to advance them. Only two wins for Jeff Capel since he took over at Pitt. Looking to get back to the tournament next year. The ACC looking like ass in the tournament. Clemson down 11 to McNeese with 3 minutes to go. Why am I bringing that up? Because that's what you want. Total Request Thursday. We asked you, when we do every Thursday at 5:30, what do you want us to talk about? Your options today. 16.9% said talk about Malzi. Malzi was bemoaning something at the time that I posted this poll. I'm not exactly clear. I remember exactly what it was. His 40th birthday party is on Saturday. Donnie and I will be there. High times for Malzi. Only 17% wanted more Malzi talk.
I mean, I'm pretty self-loathing and have a lower opinion of myself than almost everyone around me.
Did you vote for yourself?
No. I voted for the one that won.
20.4% said Buccos. Jared Jones dealing with elbow discomfort.
Just to finish the thought, though, it's pretty much a bummer. I've been doing this for longer than most people in the country in this time slot.
Oh, absolutely.
17% is a little bit of a stinger.
Dayon writing a big tell-all, looking into this Pirates' finances, and yet only 20.4% wanted that.
Wait, he wrote it?
He did.
I thought the Post-Gazette had one.
They've both done one now.
Mark Belko did it over
there. They contradict each other.
What, Dayon's is that they're spending every dime they can?
Pretty much. Aaron Rodgers, 28.7%, said let's talk more about the Aaron Rodgers limbo state the Steelers find themselves in. But I'm happy that I'm happy to report 33.9% said, let's talk some March Madness. Let's get into the zaniness, the craziness of March, this being the first day of the NCAA tournament. Robert Morris looking to shock the world. Several 15 seeds have won lately. They're trying to become the latest tomorrow in Cleveland. Andy Toole, our friend, talking about Robert Morris's shot here. Donnie, let's hear Toole talking about this being potentially the highlight of his life, his acme moment, his pinnacle in coaching, getting Robert Morris back to the tournament.
Our director of basketball operations, Matt Sweet, a couple years ago had had a bout with cancer at 28 years old. And so before the championship game against Youngstown, on the bottom of our scouting report, it said highlight of your life. And as we were going through our pregame stuff, when we got to that point, Coach Sweet spoke up and basically said, when you have a incredible health situation like I did with cancer, you're going to reflect on the highlights of your life. And going to the NCAA tournament is a highlight of your life. And he urged the guys and said, go make a highlight of your life. And so whether you play 40 minutes tomorrow or you play 0 minutes tomorrow, to be a part of this is a highlight of your life. And I'm just happy as a coach and a coaching staff that we've been able to help provide these guys this opportunity.
Pretty poignant stuff there. Andy's so good in those spots, finding the right words, coming up with the right anecdotes, sharing the right story to talk about the gravity or importance of a situation, both to his players and in that situation, the media, and what ultimately helped motivate them to get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 10 years. The last time they were here, Chris, they played Duke. Can you name one player on that Duke 2015 team that won the national championship?
My thought about that Duke team, just going back in time, is that that team was somewhat anonymous. They didn't have, like, a huge name, but I'll say Grayson Allen should have been on that team.
Yes, he was off the bench. Donnie, can you name a second?
Man, I'm thinking of the dude. Who was the guy? He went, like, very – he's been an NBA bust. He went,
Plumlee.
Like, very early.
Was a Plumlee on that team?
There was a Plumlee on the team, but that's not the guy Donnie's talking
no.
about. That Plumlee's actually
Jaleel,
the
Jabari Parker.
No, not Parker.
It's Jaleel Okafor's
right. Yeah. Parker was on the Mercer team that lost the year before when you and Joe were at Archie's.
Oh, wait. Wasn't Jaleel Okafor same year as, like, Nerlens Noel? Weren't those guys big prospects around the same time?
No.
Or am I, like, thinking too late on Noel?
Okafor, Tyus Jones was the
Tyus
point
Jones
guard.
Was the
he
point.
Was the most outstanding player from that.